So this is a model that's going to be employed across the area. I'm warning you in Issaquah. I'm warning you in Redmond, Renton, Auburn, Puyallup, Tacoma. It's leftist money backing extremists to run them in city council races because most people don't check into the background of city council candidates. It happened in Burien, and it has been insane what's going on. The Burien Voices, Joel Manning, is going to tell us what it's like, apparently, to be threatened or to a city councilwoman to be okay with you like being threatened with extermination by one of her supporters. Joining me now is Joel Manning. He's a former Burien City Council candidate and editor of the Burien Voice. Joel, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Thanks, Todd.
You and I, we are South Enders, and I don't live far from Burien, and it has been insane to watch what went on in that city council race. I have just stood aghast at the adherence to the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant School of Community Organizing. For folks who don't know, this is a template that's coming to your town. They go into a city council race, and they say the KKK is taken over, and everybody who runs against this is a racist. But it has taken on an absolutely insane dynamic now. So, Joel, let's start with the a quick history lesson on that city council race, and then let's get up into a woman who appears to be okay with death threats against you guys.
Yeah, 2017 was kind of a sad show. A group of people saw a slate of progressives coming in that were heavily funded by unions, and this is kind of the formula that you talked about, and the Democrat Party. So we put together a slate of candidates. I was one of those. And tried to run against them. Somewhere along the campaign trail, also concurrently, we had an initiative being run to put the sanctuary city status of Burien to a vote of the people. The organization running that initiative process, it was found out had apparently taken money from a questionable individual, some extremist environmentalist who had apparently said racist things. So Craig Teller and his organization were apparently racist. He wrote a letter, and in that letter, he endorsed us and printed areas where people lived that he said were accused of crimes. And that made us racist as well, apparently. And they ran with that narrative for the rest of the election, calling, phone banking, doing all they could to get that narrative out there. And as a result, I think it was a key factor in us losing the election.
Yeah, and it was a disgusting race, and it's now Burien has a number of problems. The KKK is not among them. There's a pronounced gang problem, and everybody knows it, except I think Mayor Mata, who came in that election. He thinks the big problem there is people are afraid to speak out about violence because they're afraid of ICE. But there's one personality who is emerging out of this who has me tremendously concerned and deeply sickened, and that is someone named Crystal Marks. And let's talk a little bit about her.
Well, I think of all the candidates that ran on that progressive slate, she most fits the definition of social justice type. And she's definitely run with the people she ran against. Our slate are all a bunch of racists. And just for clarity, we're not racists. We're not white supremacists. We're not Nazis. We're none of these things. It's ridiculous. Yet they keep running with this. So after the election, I decided with a group of two other people to start a local online newspaper on Facebook. We started posting stories. It's fair to say that Crystal Marks was not a fan. Recently, we posted a story that was strictly a crime story with a video, witness video, of an officer being assaulted at Redondo Beach by a group of young people. Nothing offensive in the post. We simply said, this is what happened. Take a look at the video. If you know anything, Crime Stoppers is offering a reward. She posted about our post that we had announced open season for death threats, vile racist remarks, and horrific acts of violence against youth of color in South King County, which is completely false. We said nothing of the kind. She went on to say that that people should go check the racist commentary going entirely unchecked. Todd, the post went viral and has reached almost 500,000 people. I mean, that's half a million people. You can't go through that many comments as quickly as apparently she would like. She went on to say that we were a stain on the community and we were a complete failure. This post was read, obviously, by supporters of crystals. One of those individuals, who also was at one time an officer of the 33rd District Democrats, and has made other gun-related threats during the election, commented on her post that this is why I am against gun control. These people need to be exterminated, end quote. That comment remains on her page. She did not respond to it directly. I believe she now claims that she can't delete it because, you know, she may not be allowed to as a public figure. But I don't believe that restricts her from responding to the complaint. But I think the more important part is she seems to have no problem with defamation. I mean, she's stated that we declared open season on the youth of South King County is utterly ridiculous. It was clearly a crime story, and that's all it was.
Well, and it, for people who've not seen this, and Joel Manning's with us, he ran for city council in Buren. I wish he had won, he and his slate of candidates. If you've not seen the video, I mean, this is an off-duty officer is trying to get his boat in the boat launcher out of the water at Redondo. The video I saw was a guy getting attacked by four people. Then, as I understand it, one of the kids or one of the young people pulled a gun. But Crystal Marks didn't stop with apparently ignoring and or pretending that she can't delete or maybe is not allowed to delete a threat, a death threat against you guys, it seems.
Correct.
She also took the side of the criminals, as I understand it. You know, in a post, the way I see it, she effectively blamed the cop for getting beat up.
In the absence of having all the information, she seems to have defaulted to their side, yes.
Right. I mean, she was saying that the cop should have de-escalated this, and there, you know, we didn't see the beginning of it. We don't know what escalated it. The kids have been arrested, et cetera. Now, are you going to sue this woman for defamation? Because she clearly defamed you, in my judgment.
All things are on the table at this time. We have filed a complaint with the Burien City Council. The mayor, Mayor Jim Mimata, has initiated an investigation into her conduct. That's where we are right now.
Well, you know what, Joe, you guys are doing an interesting thing in Burien. It was there in Burien where Dow Constantine made a famous statement. It was, I believe, 2 days after two young women were killed in a gang attack. Police have labeled a gang attack. Murdered standing outside their apartment building. Dow Constantine gave a state of the county address in the Burien City Council chambers. He's a big fan, I think, of Crystal Marks and that whole insane leftist posse where he made his famous statement bragging about low youth incarceration rates. So what in your mind do people in Burien and outside of Burien need to know about this model? What do people need to do to counter it in their community, Joel?
Well, I think you need to keep an eye when election season comes around and people announce that they are running. You need to look at their PDC. You need to look at who these people are and who's giving them the money. It was pretty clear when we started running and these people had announced, you looked at their funding, and it was 80, 90, 95% Union and Democrat Party, most of it outside of the town of Burien in this community, whereas you know, our funding was all local people. They probably had twice the funding on average per candidate than we did. And they had, you know, the Stranger writing really bad articles. They had other news sources. They had all the media in their pocket, basically, ready to back them. Full support of the Democrat Party from the state level down, state chairman down. They had Dow Constantine. They will tap into that. So you really need to be prepared, and you need to find some money and find a way to combat these people. And you'll be surprised. One day you'll wake up, and all of a sudden everyone says you're a racist. And that's kind of what happened to the candidates I ran with and myself.
Yeah, and people who are well-known.
They have no problem slandering you and destroying your reputation to get to them if it gets them elected.
Well, I'll say this just for fun because I know it won't happen. Crystal Marks, once again, you are welcome to come on the Todd Herman Show, offer a rebuttal. I'll tell you what, Crystal, I will give you 5 minutes of time to speak uninterrupted by me, unencumbered by my vocal presence, as long as you will engage in 10 minutes of discussion after that. Now, I know you won't come on because I know you're scared of that balance and you're not comfortable debating someone like me, someone who will go at you hard but fairly. But I make the offer and I'll call the city council office and make the same officer or offer to her just for fun. Hey, I appreciate you joining us. It's the Burien Voice, correct?
That is correct. And yeah, keep an eye on it. We are still running the story about the comments still on her page, still unrebuked by the council member. I think we're over a week now.
Well, I'm sure she's reported it to the police, so you might want to do a public document request to see that Crystal Marks, of course, deeply concerned about a threat to your life as a city council member, pulled privilege and went straight to the police and said, you got to do something about this. I'm sure that'll show up on her email record, probably dated about 2 minutes after I just said it.
Yeah, they haven't called me yet.
Okay. Joel, keep up the battle. God bless you for what you're doing. Appreciate you coming on the Todd Herman Show.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Lots more to get to as the show rolls along. 5 o'clock, another exclusive. Hannah Scott joins us. What's happening physically to our firefighters when they go into the jungles run by Mayor Durkin? Durka, 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 Durka.
Don't drop that Durka, Durka. Don't drop that Durka, Durka.
Heroin Dan Satterberg. We'll get back to it. This is not a joke, Young Tom. Seriously? No, listen. When I was putting this segment together, I heard this song in my head for the bump.
Could it be telling you something?
Yeah. You spied on me at home with your millennial black magic devices.
That's exactly what it says.
That's what's going on. Text line is open, 800-465-8770. So the day the media has been dreading arrived, and
Kennedy is a swing voter, which makes he side sometimes with the Democrats. So his vote is really important if you're on the left or if you're in the middle. But it terrifies people in the middle and on the left because it has the potential to swing the court in a different direction. Yeah.
Some friends say he's been thinking about stepping down, and if he does, that would allow President Trump to make the court solidly conservative for decades.
If he decides to retire, and there are signs that he would, it would be a war for this court, like nothing seen in the past 30 years since the nomination of Robert Bork was defeated, and Justice Kennedy took his seat.
Everything changes in Washington. If he retires, it would be just seismic.
He is a moderate conservative, so if he goes, that's going to give President Trump a massive opportunity to move the court further to the right for generations, and Democrats would basically be powerless to stop it.
Let me just make just one obvious observation. You notice how the Constitution is conservative? You notice how strict adherence to the Bill of Rights is conservative? You notice that? And Kennedy, he did not sometimes side with the Democrats. Sometimes he chose to ignore the Constitution. So did John Roberts. In all too many, well, two catastrophic cases, Obamacare. Now, when I was prepping for this segment, I was going to tell you, in fact, I had this here. Here's my show notes. We do a show rundown. I don't write down what I'm going to say, but I have an outline of what we're going to talk about because we put a lot of work into prep. Here's what I wrote for myself. Does Jeff Flake value a role on MSNBC more than the Supreme Court of the United States? That's what I wrote. Then, minutes before coming on the air, I do last-minute show prep. I go through, scan certain sites before I come on to make sure I'm bringing the absolute latest information. Mediaite broke the story. Oh, pardon me, that Ben Sasse. Jeff Flake, Jeff Flake. Mediaite broke the story that Jeff Flake has been to see CNN and MSNBC. Because Jeff Flake wants daddy some cha-ching. Funny what happens to those principals. So Jeff Flake is going to have huge leverage over the president. Now, I was talking to Michael Medved about this yesterday. He doubts Flake will hold up a nomination. I think Flake will try to trade the nomination. Flake has some significant policy differences with Trump. That's true. He also hates him. He hates Trump, and I don't know the source of it. I don't know. And I don't care who started it. It doesn't matter to me. Here's what matters to me. I want an originalist on the court. I want someone from Trump's list. And if Jeff Flake is willing to stand in front of that, because he did on Trump's nominees for lower judicial seats. You know, don't forget that. Flake has used the tactic and talked about using the tactic of obstructing people for the Court of Appeals, nominees for the Court of Appeals, because he's upset with the president's policy for Cuba and trade. Jeff Flake, in other words, is playing a harder game against Trump's judicial nominees than he did against Barack Obama's. And there is reason 10,051.5 why people pushed the Trump train, jumped on top of the Trump train, dropped everything in their lives and said, I will follow Donald Trump. When the Access Hollywood tape came out, people said, yep, I knew that stuff was going to come. When the president spoke at rallies saying in the old days, you punch a guy like that, people said, man, I wish you wouldn't say that, but I'm on the train. And when the president put out a tweet that you may have been uncomfortable with, he said, yep, that's it. I knew he's going to do this. It's priced into his stock. I knew it because he's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's not going to give up. He's not going to back down. He's not going to shrink. He's not going to give in to the press. He's not going to try to be liked. He's not going to do any of that. He's going to fight. He's going to continue on. He's going to ignore the press. He's going to attack the press. He's going to fight back. He's going to punch back. Right? Am I right? Am I right? That is why I think, now I'm opining here because I don't know. That's why I think Flake hates Trump. Now, lots of people could dislike the president's personality. Personalities are that way, and the president has a pronounced personality. I think Flake hates Trump because Trump did not do the dance that you're supposed to do with the media. He did not bow. He did not give in. So now that Flake is out pitching himself for a TV show, imagine what we have on the court. Ted Cruz. And this guy is on the list. But man, this, you want to you want to watch liberals, you know, begin scraping their face off with cheese graters.
The single best choice that President Trump could make to fill this vacancy is Senator Mike Lee. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Mike Lee would be faithful to the Constitution and Bill of Rights, that he's not going to evolve and turn into a David Souter. He is going to honor his commitment.
Evolve. David Souter, of course, was the deciding vote in the disastrous expansion of the government's ability to steal your house because someone wants to build a, well, in that case, what was it? A pharmaceutical facility that never got built. Kelo, remember that? You know they never built anything there? That land's still vacant? They stole the lady's house and they said, ah, never mind, I don't build anything here. The media, as they're treating this, and you'd expect it, they're saying that the Republicans are ready to part with longstanding Democrat, or Democrat tradition, pardon me, Senate tradition, the traditional 60-vote threshold. When did that tradition start? Well, it wasn't there when Clarence Thomas was confirmed 52-48. It's not a super long tradition. I like the tradition. I do. Because I'd like to have someone who's going to be in the court that long that sort of represents the entire country. But the fact of the matter is this. I'm just pragmatic about this. I don't like it, but I'm just pragmatic. We're in the midst of a cold civil war. And I hope it stays cold. I hope it does. There is a name on this list, Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana. There's another name, Allison Eade of Colorado, Joan Larson of Michigan. If they're qualified, if they're strict constitutionalists, if they're brilliant, would be kind of cool if the president nominated a woman, just because I'd like to see the left deal with that. Just because. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Been talking about it for a long time. Now I have real-world examples from the AP, no less. You know, I've been talking about a low-trust society. Yeah? You want to hear what's going on in Mexico? You want to hear what low-trust societies do? You want to hear why I am constantly at Heroin Dan Satterberg and Smack Daddy Del Constantine and our part-time attorney general, Sideshow Bob, why I'm constantly begging them to follow the law? Because if they don't, we won't. You want to hear how that ends up? This is an insane piece. Next, on what's going on in Mexico. Do you want to hear what a low-trust society sounds like in real life? What's going on in Mexico is sort of interesting. The media doesn't want to talk about that. First of all, a couple of text messages in the last segment. You can always text us, 800-465-8770. Also, Twitter. I read those on the air, too, at Toddy Herman. Todd, I hear Patty Murray has already voted no for President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. Wait, wait, wait! There's no nominee yet? Nah, no matter. She's already a no. Tom from Linwood. New Netflix show now that the Obamas are involved. Better Call Saul Alinsky. That's good. That's good. So if you're a longtime listener to the show, you know that I have talked for some time about the danger of the emergence of a low-trust society. So there's a number of ways that a low-trust society gets there. Let me give you the basics. America works because we're a high-trust society. The chances of you getting caught cheating on your taxes or the chances of let me give you a relatable experience. We speed, most of us speed, because we know mathematically it's unlikely we're going to get caught. I mean, if you're an outlier and you're going 90 miles an hour in a 65 or 70, you're more likely to get caught because more people are going to go, you're crazy. Right? You notice how when people are trying too slow, you call them one name. What's that old routine? And they're going too fast or another name. We do that. We stay within these bounds of sanity because most people do. We don't go out and cheat on our taxes because most people don't. It's less a fear of being caught than it's a societal norm or societal expectation. When you watch Smack Daddy Dow Constantine refuse to admit on his public disclosure forms, and it's not a mistake. He didn't forget. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, silly me. I'm on the board of Sound Transit. Good golly, I forgot to write that on my PDC form. He didn't forget. Right? That wasn't on the form, my judgment, because he didn't want what comes next. If he, on his public disclosure form, says, I sit on the board of Sound Transit, some things happen. They have to report any land deals where Constantine, in his role as so-called King County executive and his other role of being on the board of this criminal conspiracy known as Sound Transit, they have to report those. Now people can follow the money because the money in Sound Transit is in the land deals, the land theft, the eminent domain, the we're going to capture this for a little while, or like on Capitol Hill. Yep, we're going to let you build low-income housing on top of the train station. Okay, low-income, right? How long does it have to stay low-income? 12 years. 12 years. After that, that prime real estate will be luxury. Flat out fact. Poor people are gone, rich people move in, and it is advertised as right on top of the train station. Doubt me, go price apartments in Washington, D.C. that are on top of train stations. All of them are luxury. Most of them are going condo. So the low trust society is people look at Dow Constantine and go, okay, he didn't tell the truth on his forms. Why should I? Sideshow Bob. Sideshow Bob refuses to enforce the law against Sound Transit breaking election laws. He will go sue a florist all day long. People look at that and go, okay, the chief lawmaker doesn't, in fact, enforce the law. Why should I follow the law? He breaks the law. Sideshow Bob. According to Glenn Morgan's filing, Sideshow Bob committed 3 Class C felonies or possible felonies when he lied on his public disclosure forms and when he used intermingled campaign monies with personal monies. Okay, that's low trust. When enough people who are in powerful positions are acting that way, the other people begin to go, wait a minute, how come I'm the sucker at the table? If they're stealing, if they're lying on their taxes, if they're not enforcing the law, if they're not playing by the rules, why am I the big dummy playing by the rules? Now, I've been talking about this in abstract, but down on the southern border, it is in point of fact occurring on a massive basis. Now, if we had a news media, this wouldn't be something that made it into the AP in a back page story. This is huge. In Mexico, there are organized gangs. They're aware of 42 illegal taps drilled into oil pipelines across Mexico every day. There are organized gangs who are stealing oil, transporting it, selling it. And in rural communities, this is a major source of employment. What do? I steal oil. Well, who's going to stop them? The explanation for this should chill us. We are lawless in Washington State. Lawless. I'm not overstating this. The 405 tolls, illegal. The Sound Transit car tabs, illegal. Sound Transit giving voter data to illegal lobbying firms. Mass Transit Now and Transportation Choices Coalitions. Those are lobbying firms. They don't register as such. That is illegal. We are lawless. Don't even get me started on Seattle. You know how lawless that is. Open heroin use. Open street dealing. Open meth cooking. Everybody knows there's sex trafficking going on to this day in the jungle. And everybody knows there's kids involved. Everybody knows. In Mexico, they talked to the Interior Secretary, Alfonso Navarrete Prida. He said criminal gangs are inserting themselves in society. They put women and children on the front line. Much of the explanation lies in the diversification of criminal organizations that started out, listen please, that started out trafficking drugs and have now have interest in fuel theft. I told you 3 weeks ago about the $150 billion sex trafficking business tied inexorably to the heroin business. They get a foothold with the heroin. It's called vertical integration in business terms. You get the heroin, then you get young women and young men coming in who are hooked on the heroin, and you say, hey, I'll give you a discount, I'll give you free product if you allow me to pimp you out. Now, the allowing stops after you get hooked on the drugs. Now you're just treated like chattel, right? Owned property. Then they expand, and now they go out and kidnap or get young girls hooked on drugs because the product wears out very quickly. Then in Mexico, they're going, okay, we've got the drugs, we've got the prostitution, let's go get into the oil business. But why drill our own? Why go out and build our own pipeline, steal from the existing pipelines? And it is bringing about massive acts of violence. On March 25th, Marines in Mexico were ambushed three times as they left their base to patrol the border city of Nuevo Laredo. Attacks that killed one Marine and wounded several. A Marine helicopter called in for support, fired from the air, and hit a civilian family's car, killing a woman and two of her children. In the weeks around that attack, complaints were filed and 28 people who went missing in Nuevo Laredo, some allegedly hauled off by Marines. That's the counter effect to the lawlessness. We are not, my friends, immune to this. The United States is not immune to this. You get enough Sideshow Bobs, Heroin Dan Satterbergs, Jelly Durkas, you get enough Begwan Shri Sawants at the top, and other people say, screw this, I'm not following the law. I ain't going to be the sucker at the poker table. I'm going to go get mine. Everyone else is getting theirs. This is why I pray. Well, it's not why. It's one of the things I pray about. This is why I say to these people, on a consistent basis, people in power, you have no idea what you're building. You don't. We have arrived at my favorite portion of the show. We get to your letters, emails, social media posts, longer form communication. We do the text throughout the show. The Twitter throughout the show. But you know all that. You can always email the show, therman@ktth.com. Eric from White Center on an act of brilliance. Brother Todd, I think it would be an act of brilliance on President Trump's part to nominate a qualified black conservative to the Supreme Court. Would the Dems be able to quell their character assassinations? A more likely scenario would be a series of head explosions similar to those in the movie Mars Attacks. Additionally, how much of the black vote would be swayed in the conservative direction? I'd love your insight and appreciate the show. Well, there's a great African-American conservative man on the Supreme Court now. Clarence Thomas. they attacked the hell out of him. They went at him with one woman, Anita Hill, who said that that Clarence Thomas had sexually harassed her. I mean, I don't know that she said harassed, but that he created a sexually abusive sort of relationship and environment when she worked for him. And as I recall, there was no one else who came in to back that up. But I also remind you, Eric, that Clarence Thomas was not put into the African-American History Museum. No, he wasn't. James Brown was there, which is great. James is a fundamentally big name in music. There were other people, I think, it was not O.J. Simpson, but there were other people who were more infamous than famous. They didn't initially put, him in there, Justice Thomas. So the Democrats, remember, African-Americans who are conservative are not, in the minds of people on the left, actual African-Americans. I mean, think of Condoleezza Rice. She was not a real African-American. And in fact, I believe the phrase Uncle Tom has been thrown around from the left from her. Thanks for the note, Eric. Appreciate it very much. Adam from Coopville, one of the members of the Email Hall of Fame, on the topic off track. He likes the great subject lines. Hey, Todd, interesting choices in the recent Democrat primaries. They seem to be on a winning formula with the Pennsylvania model, finding a military vet, pro-Second Amendment, moderate Democrat. But then they went the opposite direction with these abolish ICE types. Has blind rage really taken over to the point where they would hurt their chances like that? I understand that these are local races in deep blue districts, but the RNC is already producing national ads about how extreme the Democrats have become, and these candidates are proving the point. Trump's done a good job staking out the immigration issue as a not left-right argument, but an elitist versus populist argument. Also on the topic of illegal immigration, with catch and release, the problem seems to be that folks don't ever show up at their court hearing. Don't we already have a process to ensure people show up at their court hearing after they're released from jail? Isn't that what bail's for? Many of these immigrants are already paying coyotes $5,000 to get them access to the border. But even if they couldn't afford to pay a $20,000 bail, then I have no idea if that's the right amount. Couldn't some of these Hollywood liberals and open border activists put their money where their mouth is and post bail? Seems like there's plenty of legal precedent for that process, even though we're dealing with non-citizens who are not covered under our constitutional rights. Great idea once again, Adam. We should recommend that to Hollywood. In fact, start a GoFundMe and sign up these people to provide matching funds. I mean, certainly they wouldn't demur at the opportunity, would they? Richard from Anderson Island. Love Anderson Island, Richard. A history lesson. Hey, Todd, governments throughout history have been mechanisms for stealing from their citizens, or should we say subjects. The classes that ran government were unrestrained in their ability to monetize their position. Whether we're talking about royalty, nobility, bureaucracy, or warlords and henchmen, they differed very little in their behavior toward the people under them. Oh, some were kind and benevolent, loved by the people, and we applauded them. But they didn't have to be. Their political systems imposed no limitations. Then along came the United States of America and its constitution, and a government was limited in its power in favor of the freedom of the governed. The avaricious and power-hungry have been straining against these limits for the past two centuries and trying to slip those constitutional constraints off for their own profit. A worldwide movement began in the late 19th century that proved perfect for that purpose. Socialism was used by the fascists in Western Europe, the communists in Russia and elsewhere, and the progressives in America as a vehicle for attaining power and monetizing government. Lenin, Stalin, Mussolini, and yes, even Hitler are all self-described socialists before they emerge as the monsters they were in their final evolution. Our progressives declared common cause with all of them until they became embarrassments due to the accumulation of corpses. Wow, that is an eloquent note, and it's not far off. In fact, I don't think I can argue with it, sadly. Progressivism has a logical endpoint. When you see no constraints on government power, what's the logical endpoint? I once asked a sort of family member by marriage, and we used to be really good friends, and it's very sad to me that we're not really good friends anymore. And we don't even talk. We can't. And I asked her once in a Facebook argument, and this was now going on about 7 years ago. I said to her, hey, what is one limit you would put on the federal government other than on abortion? She refused to answer. She would answer every other question, but she refused to answer that one. And I think it's truly because she doesn't want to admit there should ever be a limit on what government can do. And here's a fact. If government can do for you whatever it wants, do for you whatever it wants. It can do to you whatever it wants. Last up, another Hall of Fame member, Jay Payne, writing from 1789 on Schumer's trap. Todd, newsflash. We should not fall for the Democrats' ruse now, moving the goalposts on the so-called Schumer rule, demanding a delay in the SCOTUS confirmation until after the following election. The critical difference here is that in 2007 and in 2016, the impending election both determined a new president of the United States. And hence, the argument for delaying the confirmation rests on avoiding a lame duck president rigging the SCOTUS before the American people weigh in on their replacement and a new direction for our country. Jay Payne. Jay Payne, sharp as always. I hope you're enjoying 1789. Thanks for listening to the program. If you want to be in the Hall of Fame, yeah, just write a great email. We've even had texters. We've had people who've made the Hall of Fame because they listened to the show in Australia and they travel the world. We'll make another announcement and a new member of the Hall of Fame coming up this Friday. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH. We have a 1 hour countdown beginning in about 2 minutes. The agitators outside the detention center in Tacoma. The agitators who are agitating on behalf of illegal immigrants have 1 hour to clear out. The countdown begins on the Todd Herman Show.